When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hey, this is Bridget.
Hi, this is Annie.
And you're listening to Stuff Mom Never Told You.
Today, we are talking about bad feminism.
Bad feminism! If you're familiar with Roxane Gay, spelled with one N.
Yes.
Very important to note.
Very important.
You probably already know a little bit about what we mean when we say bad feminist.
Yeah, and if you haven't read it, go out and find it because it's excellent. She touches on all kinds of things. It's a series of essays about intersectional feminism, about like pop culture, from the Hunger Games to faking orgasms. And one of the things I love about it is that it's so relatable.
I definitely found myself relating to a lot of her essays, particularly the ones that make you think about your own behavior and your own thoughts as a feminist.
Yeah.
Overall, I'm really, really into the message that it's okay to be sort of figuring these things out as feminists and not always get it exactly right.
Yeah, and a lot of people, when they hear bad feminist or bad feminism, I think there's this knee-jerk reaction of like, oh, you think you're too cool to be feminist. You're better than feminism. But that's not what she was saying at all. She was saying exactly what you were saying, Bridget, is that we put feminists on a pedestal a lot, or feminism on a pedestal a lot, and it's this perfection that can never be achieved. And we're all complex people, and we're going to make mistakes, and we're going to have flaws.
Exactly. That's why we had that series, Problematic Faves.
Yeah.
And I always like to remind people that the reason that we do that series is not to, like, drag Taylor Swift or drag Judge Judy or drag Lena Dunham. It's because we need to acknowledge the ways that we're all our own problematic faves. Like, I always say, I am my own problematic fave in that I f*** up all the time. I get it wrong all the time. Sometimes it happens in public. Sometimes it happens on a public podcast, even.
Sometimes.
And yeah, part of being a feminist is learning and growing. And sometimes it's tough, but that's being a feminist, I think.
Yeah. And here are some stats for you. According to a 2016 national survey conducted by the Washington Post and Kaiser Family Foundation, 6 out of 10 women and a third of men call themselves either feminist or strong feminist. And about 7 out of 10 called the feminist movement an empowering one. However, 4 out of 10 labeled the movement as an angry one and also one that unfairly puts the blame on men.
So this is something I have a lot of experience with.
Yeah.
One, I have so many friends that would say, well, I'm not a feminist.
Right.
I just believe that women and men should be equal.
Right.
And I say, well, you are a feminist. Or they'll say something like, I'm not a feminist. I don't hate men. And I say, I don't hate men either. I mean, I actually do, but that's another story.
It's not a requirement for feminism.
Yes, you can still be a feminist even if you don't hate men. And so I think there is, for some reason, we get ingrained with this anxiety around the F word.
Yeah.
And I think you even see it with celebrities where so many of them in interviews when asked, are you a feminist, they kind of shirk that label, and it reveals a kind of anxiety around just proudly wearing this hat of, as being a feminist. Yeah, that's exactly what Taylor Swift said. She actually was quoted as saying, as a teenager, I didn't understand that saying you're a feminist is just saying that you hope men and women will have equal rights and opportunities. What it seemed to me is that the way it was phrased in culture and society was that you hate men. And now I think a lot of girls have had a feminist awakening because they understand what that word means. For so long, it's been made to seem like something where you'd picket against the opposite sex, but it's not about that at all. And so I think you're right. You see this evolution where, for some reason, the word feminism, the idea of feminism, seems to imply that you hate men, that you're picketing against men, that you're trying to take away rights for men, when in fact, it's not that. And so when people realize, oh, feminism has been branded in this way that's not true at all, they kind of have that come-to-Jesus moment where they say, oh, yeah, I am a feminist. And Taylor Swift now identifies as a feminist, and she credits Lena Dunham, of all people, with helping her see the light.
Yeah. There's another episode we'll have to come back to and do where you can look at Google Trends graph, and you can see, like, when feminism started to enter the popular culture and language, it spiked with all of these other, like, angry woman, all these stereotypes we have about feminism. They happened at the same time, and a lot of them were perpetuated by men who didn't want women to go out driving by themselves. They didn't know what they'd get up to. 1950s. There's another poll from Vox conducted in 2005 that found that even though 85% of Americans want equality for women, only 18% call themselves feminist. And a similar poll in 2016 by YouGov found that about 25% of Americans identify as feminist, one-third of female respondents, and less than one-fifth of male respondents. So there is a gap there. And the most common response given for why respondents said they weren't feminist was feminists are too extreme, followed by feminists are anti-men. So clearly this is not just us seeing this. This is a real phenomena that's happening. I would like to note that, as always with surveys, how many people are going to say they aren't for equality of the sexes?
That's exactly the thing. Somehow it's easier to frame it as, of course I'm pro-equality, because saying, oh, I don't think, I'm not down with equality, makes you sound like a dick, right? And so no one's going to say that.
Right. But you can say, oh, I'm not feminist. That's too much.
Yeah.
That's going too far. If we go back to Roxane Gay, I do think a lot of us have these questions about whether or not we are a good enough feminist. You can find so many essays, just so many, and articles and books about what feminism means and what good feminism is, and a lot of them are in opposition to each other. One in particular I read, it suggested that in order for feminism to work, all women have to enter the workforce, or at least an equal amount of women to men, and therefore we will get equal pay. But, yeah, that's
I don't think that would work.
No, and it's ignoring a lot of choices and women and problems that we face. When I was researching this, I also found a 2017 article in Bon Appetit titled...
Noted feminist publication,
yeah,
Bon Appetit.
Exactly.
Actually, they were one of our sponsors, so when I love Bon Appetit.
I'm a fan. The article is titled, I Thought Cooking Made Me a Bad Feminist. And it's actually an interesting read. The author describes cooking for women as, quote, inherently political. And she talks about this sort of complicated relationship women have with cooking, where you're shamed for being a stay-at-home mom, but at the same time, if you show up to a bake sale without homemade donuts, you bought store-bought donuts or whatever, you're shamed for that, too.
Are you saying that women can't win no matter what we do?
We can't have it all? What?
I mean, that's something that I really identify with. As a loud and proud feminist, obviously, something that I had to sort of come to terms with is the fact that I have this sort of almost 50s housewife style person inside of me. I love to entertain. Nothing fills me with like happiness more than cooking a big meal and having someone in my house and me being like, oh, can I get you another beer? Can I make you a drink? I made this elaborate meal. And I think for a while that made me feel a little anxious that, you know, who is this person that like lives to serve? Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just... cooking is fun. Cooking is my stress relief. And I do feel contentment in providing a really comfortable space for someone who I care for is something that makes me feel good. And so I kind of had to just say, it's okay. It doesn't have anything to do with my feminism that I have this kind of desire to please and serve. It's just, you know.
Yeah. I think in the article, she came to the conclusion that cooking, like feminism, takes many different forms. And she also kind of separated it by the choice. Like, you choose to cook because you like it. It's not that you have to because that's your, quote, job.
Yeah.
Also, invite me over sometime, Bridget.
Anytime, Annie.
Yes.
Yeah. I also think, I mean, the choice thing is so real because it's the expectation. If I am expected to come home after work and make dinner for someone because they don't know how to do it themselves or it's my responsibility to feed them, I'm not down with that.
Yeah.
When it's you know, when it does not feel like an obligation, that's when I'm interested in doing it. The second that it becomes like a mandatory thing that, like, you are the woman, you shall cook and serve and get me a beer,
yeah,
no dice. And I almost think it comes back to, I've done a lot of reading about Black feminists and the power of the domestic, and oftentimes we think about women who cook and serve and run a household as not having any power. But in fact, in a lot of cases, Black women were running kitchens, running households, running families, and they did have a kind of power, just not the kind of power that you would maybe think.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think it really can come back to this discounting of power that is associated with women.
Yeah.
And the domestic is very associated with women. And so we automatically have to sneer at it.
Right. Yeah. I am exactly the same way about obligation and expectation. I'm happy to cook, but don't expect me to cook. It's a fun thing to explain to someone. And I remember hearing this interview, and this was years ago, and it stuck with me, where whoever was being interviewed said that women shouldn't bring baked goods to the office because then they won't be able to get ahead. People will see them as somehow like, oh, less than. She doesn't have aspirations. And it stuck with me. After that, I was like thinking about all the times I'd bought in baked goods with shame. What have I done? What do
those
people think of
brownies.
Me?
Those double fudge brownies.
I know.
I'll never get a promotion.
I'll never live it down.
What was I thinking?
My coworkers must think so little of me. So we could do a whole episode on the relationship between women and cooking, and we should. But going back to feminism, just to say, the straight-up dictionary definition is the theory of the political, economic, and social equality of the sexes. But then there's all this other stuff that we've attached to it. And I think a lot of them have confused the definition, have muddied it, sometimes accidentally, sometimes purposefully. And because of that, a lot of us feel like we're failing as feminists or we're not up to par to say that we're feminist. And it's one of the reasons we're doing this episode is because I felt that way for a long, long time. But this show helped me overcome that. And now, I'm a loud and proud feminist, too.
So, Annie, tell us about that. Just from knowing you personally, you've talked about how working on stuff I've never told you behind the scenes for many years helped you come to terms with your own feminism. Tell me about that.
Yeah. For a long time, I thought that I was a bad feminist, that I wasn't doing enough as a feminist. And to set the scene, let me take you back to that dreaded time of high school. We had this teacher who was sort of a good old Southern boy, and he had a rule that all the boys in class would get the books, because we checked out our school books, and they'd pass them out to the girls in class. Yeah, this was the rule. And I always shafted it because I was stubborn and independent, and also I sat right next to the bookcase. So to me, it was just a waste of time. I could just get my own book. And one day I did. I just reached across and got my own book because, of course, the way the desks were structured, I got my book last. So I reached across and got it, and the guy who was in charge of handing out the books that day said, "Annie, are you a feminist?" And the whole, I'm not kidding, the whole classroom went quiet. What is she going to say? Is she a feminist? And I, inside,
Was there a murmur of whispers, yes, like, is Annie a feminist? Yes. You guys, I think Annie might be a feminist. Oh, is she a feminist?
Yes. It's one of those scenes that I see in, like, movies about high school that I think, that doesn't really happen.
It really happens.
It does. And inside, I was just panicking. I seized up. Like, oh, no. Because I knew that saying you're a feminist, it would come with, it had this negative connotation, and then it was going to come with all of these expectations on me. All of a sudden, I was going to have to live up to this thing. And I'm pretty sure I just made some kind of like cop-out joke. You were taking too long or something. Like, I was just trying to get the book a bit quicker. But then they did not drop it. The class did not drop it. And they were like, do you shave your legs? Do you wear makeup? Do you wear a bra? And, you know, this was my freshman year of high school. I was so mortified. And to be a good feminist in my mind at the time, I thought the answers to those questions were no.
Like, no, I don't shave my legs. No, yeah. I don't wear makeup. No, I don't wear a bra.
Exactly.
Interesting.
But I did all of those things. And looking back, it seems so silly that that was enough for me to be like, oh, no, I'm not a feminist. I thought I was, but I guess not.
I mean, that just goes to show how much anxiety we put on ourselves when we call ourselves a feminist, that, oh, no, I said I was a feminist, but I shave my legs and wear makeup and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. What must people think, you know?
Yes.
And it really, I think it starts from an early age.
I agree, yeah. And I too thought that it meant you hated men. And because of that, I had a teacher tell me, and it was a female teacher, and I'm still really mad about this. When I was in seventh grade, I loved math. It was my favorite subject. And she told me that math was a men's subject, like it was for boys, and girls didn't really do good in it, and that no boy was going to want to date me unless I did worse. Like, she didn't want me to embarrass the other men in the class.
Was she a math teacher?
Yes.
So she's basically telling her students to be worse at math. Doesn't sound like a great teacher, I gotta say.
No, and I'm still really mad about it because
what's her name? Put her on blast. Call her out. Expose her, Annie.
I'm coming for you. I just show up in my hometown. Oh, man. I used to ask for extra worksheets, and then I was like, okay, I guess I'll not do that anymore. As I got older, I put a ton of exclamation points in emails. I say sorry all the time. I do like baking things and bringing them in, because if I make cookies and they're around, I'll eat all the cookies. I try not to, but the temptation is too much. There's a 24-hour delivery cookie delivery service in Atlanta, and I'm notorious for at like 2 a.m. ordering cookies.
I want to know more about these 2 a.m. cookie runs.
Oh, man. I have got such a funny story about that. Another episode.
Okay. We'll take that one off air. Yeah. So I want to dive more into this, not the cookies, your feminism,
yes,
after a quick break.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise, all things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association, member FDIC. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Annie was just telling me how her journey to feminism kind of came to be now that she's a co-host of a feminist podcast. From a reluctant high school feminist to a co-host of a feminist podcast. How do we get there?
Yeah. Well, okay, so we're moving out of high school, and now I'm in college. And I was a feminist. Looking back, I can say I participated in things, but I did it kind of in stealth mode, like in hiding, because I didn't want people to point at me and say, well, you're not a good enough feminist, or you're being a fraud or something. So I kind of did everything in secret. And I would write all these pieces and then not publish them because I was afraid that it would reveal some secret sexist view I had that I didn't know I had, which is ridiculous. And I think the definition of feminism was still warped in my head. I still didn't have it quite down. And I still thought there was a negative connotation with that. And during my senior year, I got an internship at How Stuff Works at this very company. And I started to produce Stuff Mom Never Told You. And I'm not kidding when I say it changed my life. I had everything so wrong, Bridget. I needed that kind of hearing from other women who are also flawed and also still learning and still pushing themselves to be better. I just needed that example. And having that over the years, it just gave me so much. And then hearing from all the listeners, that gave me so much. And it gave me the courage to finally say to myself, yes, you are a feminist, and that's good. And you should say that to people loudly.
Yeah, that's so powerful for me. I mean, you're a bit younger than me, but I remember what it was like to find a kind of a piece of media that spoke to my feminism in a way that I hadn't seen before and really affirmed it. And for me, it was Bitch Magazine because yeah. We didn't have podcasts back then. But that was the thing that was this lifeline where, you know, I grew up in the South. I grew up in a pretty, good old boy, Southern, I mean, I call it a hick town sometimes, but that's probably a little bit, I probably shouldn't say that. But, I say it with love.
Yeah.
And when I found that magazine, I was like, oh my God, there's a whole world out there that I don't even know about. I had been sort of this lonely, lefty, alt-y, feminist-y, queer person in my town, feeling really alone and feeling like maybe I would never meet anybody else like me. I was sort of burdened by being this, weird kid. And when I found Bitch Magazine, I thought, oh my God, there are other people out there. Like, I could be at a cool restaurant in New York City with other weird feminists from other small towns, and we could all kick it together. Like, that was a big thing. And so when people write in about Sminty, sometimes they'll say, I live in a small town, and I don't really get a lot of feminist media, and podcasts can be a beacon. And I just really identify with that, what it feels like when you find a piece of creative content that just speaks to something in you that you didn't even really know needed to be spoken to.
Yeah. And I, especially coming from a small town, which I grew up in a small town as well, and I also was sort of the local liberal. And when you're in a small town, it's hard to see outside of the options that are sort of painted for you. So all of my friends were in pretty serious relationships in high school. Like, you have the, oh, they're probably going to get married and they're going to have kids. And they just had their life planned out for them. And that was never going to be in the cards for me. But I think I tried it because that's what people did. And I was trying to fit into that and I just couldn't do it. It was never going to happen. A lot of people would talk to me as if it was a phase and I was going to grow out of it, or I was going to get older and wiser. It was a very strange thing. And then to start working on this show and just have your worldview expanded and given all these avenues of thinking, and it was very, very rewarding and enlightening. And it helped me personally grow so much. And I think about high school Annie sometimes, and I'm like, oh, it gets better.
It does get better. And I one of the things I love about doing this show is that if we can tell one young person out there that even if you're the person who doesn't really fit in your community, you can find a new community. Even if your family thinks you're the weirdo, you can find a new family, right? That it's okay. We all go through this. And, you know, for the little version of junior high me who's out there in Bumble, Virginia, listening to this podcast in her bedroom with the door closed, thinking, I want to have a different kind of life than the life I see all around me. You can have that life. I hope that is happening.
I do too, yeah. And one of the things I think about this all the time. When I was taking the GRE, which is the Graduate Records Examination, a couple years ago, the essay prompt was something along the lines of, is it possible for us to have heroes in a world with so much constant media coverage? And I think about that all the time. But it gets back to that same idea of bad feminist and bad feminism, and there aren't perfect people, and we are expecting people to be perfect. And I think that's just something to watch out for, because that doesn't exist.
None of us are perfect.
No.
Even if we put on this label of I'm a feminist, I'm super woke, I'm super progressive, I'm Little Miss Lefty, we all fuck up, we all make mistakes, and it's so much easier to grapple with that and others, even though it's hard.
Yeah.
But it's almost sometimes feels impossible to accept that about ourselves. And that's why I love Roxane Gay's book so much, because it's all about sort of embracing our own frailties and our own blind spots and our own issues and our own hang-ups in a way that is, when you accept that, it's almost liberating. Like, yeah, I am a bad feminist. If someone says, hey, you say that you're a feminist, but you did this thing once, it's like, yeah, maybe I'm a bad feminist. I'm still a feminist.
Yeah.
I'm just bad at it.
Yeah. I love the example she gives where she loves rap music, but the lyrics, like, appall her.
Yeah, that's one I definitely identify with.
Yeah, me too. It's just good to run to. Okay, so we have a little bit more to talk about with you, but first, one more quick break. Word from our sponsor.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands. Not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly boring since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all.
Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI.
There is still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI and revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better.
In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more, while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces.
Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow.
Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor. Okay, so doing this episode, I tried to come up with what the image is for a perfect feminist, and I honestly could not do it. And I think it is in part because that person doesn't exist. If you're waiting for yourself to become the perfect feminist, one that everyone agrees with, you're going to be waiting forever, and you're going to waste a lot of time that you could have spent doing good work and helping and supporting people. We're all complex and flawed humans, and we aren't perfect, and we just need to accept it. It's both comforting and not comforting, but mostly comforting, I think.
I think it's comforting. Once you just opt out of having to be perfect, you have so much more fun. You're so much more relaxed. You can sort of accept things about yourself. I think it helps you grow and learn, because if you're perfect, you don't need to grow. You already have all the answers. But if you say, I'm not perfect, you get to sort of go on more journeys that get you someplace good instead of just being smug in your perfection.
Yeah. This actually reminds me of those who listened to the Icebreaker episode. I don't know if it made it in, but I had a big crush on Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day. And he has this quote. He says he doesn't believe practice makes perfect because nobody's perfect.
Oh.
Yeah.
Billy Joe Armstrong. Is it Joe or Joel?
Joe.
Billy Joe Armstrong, friend of the show.
I hope
feminist
so.
Friend of the show.
I hope so. Please write in.
If you're listening, Annie loves you.
High school Annie would have died probably if she got a note from Billy Joe Armstrong. Yeah, there's always room for improvement, and feminism is no exception. And I think the first step for me was accepting that label, and another good step is always listening. Listening is, I think people discount that all the time, but it's so important. And know when to speak up, have those good, uncomfortable conversations. Lord knows I had one over this Christmas break. Oof. But I did it. Understanding that feminism, while at its core is simple, is complex and nuanced, and there are a lot of different voices and intersections. And keep educating yourself. I feel like I'm preaching to the choir, because all of you are probably way ahead of me on this. But it's worth repeating. And be honest with yourself. Be honest with where you could improve, and go out and try to improve yourself in those areas.
I love it. And I think our unofficial motto here at the show is learn and grow together, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what we're trying to do here. I'm glad that you're taking this journey with me, because Lord knows I have so many avenues where I could learn and grow. And I want to do that together, because, you know, nobody's a perfect feminist. We're all figuring it out. We're all just trying our best. And I think that's okay. And sometimes that looks messy and awkward and uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's mundane. Sometimes it's boring. But we're doing the work.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm happy to be here on this journey with you too, Bridget.
Well, Sminty listeners, we want to know, how has your feminism journey played out? Are you learning and growing alongside with us? You can find us on Instagram at Stuff I Never Told You, on Twitter at MomStuff Podcast, and as always, keep sending those emails at momstuff@howstuffworks.com.
This episode is brought to you by PNC Bank, who believes some things in life should be boring, like banking.
Because boring is safe and responsible, level-headed and wise. All things you want your bank to be.
You don't want your bank to be cool or sexy. Sexy is for 80s hair bands, not banks. That's why PNC Bank strives to be boring with your money, so you can be happily fulfilled with your life.
PNC Bank, brilliantly boring since 1865.
Brilliantly Boring Since 1865 is a service mark of the PNC Financial Services Group, Incorporated. PNC Bank, a National Association member, FDIC.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Tomboy X, the queer-founded clothing line that's inclusive and sustainable. Underwear, swimwear, and more for all bodies. So you can feel good about protecting the goods. Use the code IHEART to get 20% off your first purchase, only at TomboyX.com.